Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for the precious blood that you shed for us. Father, I thank you for being so giving that you would give your Son, your only Son. And Holy Spirit, I want to thank you for lingering here in this world among us, saving us, keeping us safe, inspiring us. Holy Spirit, we can never thank you enough. So today, as this message goes forth, Lord, I pray that it'll be empowered by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, use us today. Use me, Lord, to glorify your Son, Jesus Christ. For it is in his name that we pray. So in the book of Psalm 144, verses 1 through 4, it says it's a Psalm of David. We know King David from the Old Testament and how he is a man after God's own heart. He writes, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock." Hence the title of the message, "My Rock." Jesus is our rock. The word is tesor. It means a large compressed rock in the Hebrew. Or there's another name for it, Selah, which means a stronghold, a fortress. A stronghold is like if there's this big cave that's a solid rock and there's elements in the weather that are horrible, perhaps rain, tornado, and you can run to it and you're safe in there. A tornado can go ahead and knock down a building, but it can't tear down that rock. The word God. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. He's the largest rock there is. Jesus is the rock. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, my rock." David personalizes this. He says, "He is my rock." The question is he your rock? Is Jesus your solid rock foundation in times of trouble or storms? There's storms of correction and storms of perfection, and God refines us through the storms either way. He says, "The Lord is my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle." David's a warrior. God has trained him with that. The fingers, it's interesting. The word is et. Ba. It's a Hebrew word that means in the sense of grasping. In the sense of grasping something to seize. To seize means to take hold of suddenly. You see, when you're in battle, you need your hands, you need your fingers. God has given us the ability of grasping things. Speaking mentally, emotionally, even physically. We're able to grasp things. Have you grasped the concept that Jesus is the rock of your salvation? That there is no other way to the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ? Have you grasped and have you taken hold of what God has left behind or who God has left behind in the person of the Holy Spirit? Do you allow the Holy Spirit to grasp you and hold you suddenly in a moment's notice and you're in the Spirit and he reveals himself to you through the Word, through the preaching of the Word, through the loving kindness you display to others? It's a sudden thing. It's not always a planned thing. It's a sudden thing sometimes. This is what David is trying to explain to us. In verse 2 it says, "My loving kindness and my fortress." He's a loving, kind God who trains us in the midst of the storms. Let him train you. You're safe in the fortress. The word fortress here means a castle. If you've ever seen a castle, it's an amazing structure of stone. It's a strong place. It's our defense. This fortress portrays Jesus, that if we're fighting out in the field, we can take refuge in the fortress of Jesus Christ, our castle, our strong place, our stronghold. He's our defense. What's within the castle walls? our Lord and King, our Savior, our God, our Father. It's a high tower. He's my high tower, our refuge. It says in verse 2b, my high tower, my deliverer, my shield, and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. So he's our high tower. The word means a cliff that's inaccessible to the enemy. To you, it's very accessible. He's our fortress. He's our high tower. He allows us to go in and out. But the enemy, he sets up a standard against him because he is our refuge. He will protect us and he will guide us. He is our shield, it says. The shield is an interesting word, magen. It means a small shield, not a great big, huge shield. It's a small shield. It's called a buckler. The buckler is a small shield that you see in movies when they're fighting hand-to-hand combat. It's a protector for up close and personal. That's our God. The small shield, you can't haul around the big shield all the time. The small shield, you can. Of course, we have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, but this shield protects us as well. Because the enemy's trying to harm you and hurt you, and he is my deliverer in verse 4. Here, this word means to snatch away in a moment's notice. You see, when you're approaching sin, let's say you've contemplated sin and you even started to approach it, but then all of a sudden, God, the deliverer, snatches you away from it. You're in the midst of it. You're about to say that unhealthy word, that bad word, to get involved in the conversation with your peers. But then all of a sudden, God reminds you of who you are. He's your deliverer. He will snatch you away. He will take you out of that situation. He'll give you the strength to take you out of that situation. He'll shield you. He'll guard your ears and your eyes if you allow him. Ask him, Lord Jesus, guard my ears and my eyes, all that I see, say, and speak. He subdues people under him. The word subdue, Webster's definition, means to bring under control. He'll allow things to get chaotic sometimes, or he'll allow us to go through times of uncertainty. He brings us under his control. He brings those under us under his control. He will protect his people. He will protect you. It says, Lord, what is man that you should take knowledge of him? Or who is the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Who is like our God? In Deuteronomy 32, he is the rock. His work is perfect. You stay close to the rock. You stay sheltered in the cliff, if you will, in the castle, in the fortress, close to the rock. He's perfect. He knows exactly how to take care of you. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 2, it says, nor is there any rock like our God. There's not anyone like our God. You can search the whole world over. You can go to the farthest ends of the galaxy. There is no one like our God. Shouldn't we praise him? Shouldn't we praise his holy name? He brings us into his safety. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 27, speaking of safety, we live in a time of uncertainty, that's true, but nevertheless, God provides a certain amount of safety in our life. Sometimes it's more than other times because he allows us to learn through these things that we go through, but he also warns us. In chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, verse 15, it says, beware Beware of false prophets who come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. It's impossible, it seems. As we listen to the words of Jesus, it says in verse 19, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. How? What is this fruit that they have? Peter speaks about it in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. The fruit, you can tell where a person's going by the things that come out of his mouth oftentimes. Sometimes the false teachers are very clever, very persuasive. And if they try to persuade you into doing something that's contrary to the word of God, there's a good chance he or she is a false prophet. They try to use cunningness to fool us into giving, into relationships, whatever it may be. There's a lot of Christians out there that are doing things that are unimaginable that we shouldn't even have to bring up here, but they're there. They're doing that. It says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You see, if you see people who are doing the will of God, now they're not going to be perfect, pastors included. They're not perfect. But if they're doing the will of God, if they're conducting themselves in such a manner that is glorifying God, when you see the humility in them, when you see the wisdom that can only be imparted by God, and you recognize these fruits of the Spirit, you know, we think doing a good deed is fruit of the Spirit, and it could be, but it could be a work as well. Sometimes false prophets get involved in a lot of things to make themselves look busy or keep people busy, but their heart is far from God. Well, how will we know? Well, the best thing I've experienced is when I've trusted a man to come under him as a student of the Bible, I prayed to make sure that this was the right thing to do as I submit myself under an authority. When we do that, God will protect you no matter what, regardless if the authority goes astray. God will protect you. But don't you go astray. Just because an authority has to uphold certain rules and regulations and all that, don't think necessarily they're a tyrant right away. Search your heart. Are you willing to come under that authority to glorify God? But ask God, pray all the time, in season, out of season, that you're doing the right thing, that you're in the right place. That's key. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, what day? The day that they stand before the Lord to give an account for what they did. Just like you, just like me, we all have to do that. And they will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Always in your name. But their hearts hadn't changed. Their hearts hadn't conformed to God. They were still hard as a rock. They were still about themselves. And only God knows that. Don't start searching for people like that. You may have wisdom and discernment and be able to spot one from time to time. But don't focus so much on them. Focus on God. God will show you and protect you. And in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock of Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone of the foundation. If you build your relationship on God in the rock, if you listen to these words that God gives us through the Bible, and you do them, now you're not going to be perfect, nor am I, but you do them, you're committed to doing them as much as you possibly can. You're giving it your 100%. Maybe your 100% falls short compared to someone else's, then don't compare yourself to someone else. You will be a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. Just like we talked about earlier, the storms will come. And it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Let everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Not the wise man who built on the solid rock, but this guy is building on sand, shifting sand. It's a bad foundation. If you're that type of a person, then start to build on the solid rock of God. Well, how do I do that? Hear the words of Jesus Christ. Do the words of Jesus Christ, and you will be wise. Don't do them, and you'll be foolish, he says. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. A lot of people are thinking that they're following the Lord, but they're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I caution you, if that's you, stay close to Jesus. That word rock is the word Petra or Petros. It's a massive rock, a piece of rock. It's way larger than a lithros, which we may look at today, if not next week. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, it says something very interesting. It says that when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He gives them the answer right there. So they said, you know, some think you're John the Baptist, others some think you're Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Now, if you're standing on shifting sand, then you may think he's this, that, or the other. Elijah, John the Baptist, one of the other prophets. But if you're standing on the solid foundation of Christ, the rock of Jesus Christ, when he asks you, "Who do you say that I am?" you will be able to answer him the way Peter did. Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter knew exactly who he was at this moment, as the Holy Spirit took a hold of him and he confessed, "You're the Son of God. There is no one else like you." Can you believe Peter, of all people, saying that? He knew that God had sent Jesus as the Messiah. And under the power of the Holy Spirit, he confessed. He believed. He had a lot of work that he had to go through or he had to do. But he knew that he was unmovable in that area. He got scared later on. He betrayed the Lord. But he always came back to the rock, just like David did, where we started off in Psalm 144. And now as we end in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, this is where we'll look at the word lithros. I remember when I first became a disciple of the Lord, and I remember going to a men's prayer meeting on a Tuesday morning, and I was asked at that time to give a devotional. Now, I had never given a devotional ever, but nevertheless, I committed to it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I sought the scriptures. And as I went through them, this is what I taught on. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit. Malice is spitefulness. If you have spitefulness and you want to injure others with that spite, let it go. Lay it aside. If you have deceit, guile, if there's hypocrisy in your life, inconsistency, according to the scripture, as you compare yourself to the Word of God, are you a hypocrite in some areas or another? Envy and all evil speaking. Don't speak badly about things or people. As newborn babes. Now remember, at this time, I was a newborn babe in Christ. This was in 1995, where I came back to the Lord. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That was me. I wanted the Word of God and nothing but the Word of God. I had been to so many different areas and churches and teachings and everything, and hypocrisy and envy and deceit and all kinds of stuff going on all around. And I wanted the truth, and I sought the Word of God and nothing else. That's the pure milk of the Word. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Start to grow. Some people say, oh, you're still drinking milk. You know what? Milk is refreshing. You need milk or your bones are going to fall apart. You need the solid meat. You need the milk. You need the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, the complete Word of God. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, this is that word lithros. Rejected indeed by some, but chosen by God and precious. The word for stone here is a millstone. It's a lithros. There's two different millstones that they typically use. One was a large one, about 5-6 feet tall, that a beast would be tied to, and he'd go around in circles, and they would use it to grind the grain. And then there was a smaller one that you could hold in your hand that you would crush grain to prepare a meal. And here it says, coming to Jesus as a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion the chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in him, Jesus, will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, he is the stone which the builders rejected, and has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. Those are to the ones who he's not precious to. In fact, they reject him. They're disobedient to him. They may proclaim him like those that we read earlier, those false teachers, the false Christians. They may be saying all the right words, but they are far from him. This is what's going to happen. They are going to stumble. It's going to become a rock of offense. Jesus will become, their Christianity will become a rock of offense to them. They stumble being disobedient to the word. That's how you can tell the main fruit. They're disobedient to the word of God. They profess it, but they're disobedient in every way, to which they also were appointed. You are a chosen vessel, a chosen generation, it says, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God's mercy is all over you. God has protected you. He is the solid rock. He is a moving rock, the lithros. It moves. It grinds up the grain. It creates nourishment for others. And if you're doing that as well, if you're taking the Word of God, you're taking your relationship with Jesus to another level, you are a moving stone, a moving rock, if you will. And you're providing meals for many people. Not just physically giving them meals during this time of coronavirus, but you are feeding them the Word of God. I have spoken to many people, and on Sunday, they're still getting up. They're having service in their home, just them and their family. And the head of the house is taking responsibility and preaching the Word or reading the Word to his family. Men, that's what you need to be. You need to stand up in that place. You're the head of the house. Feed your household. I know you work hard. I know you're working hard to feed them physically, feed them spiritually as well. Your wife, your children, be a lithros, be a solid rock unto God. Create the nourishment that you need by sitting at the feet of Jesus, by coming under the power of the Holy Spirit to speak his word. And go out there wherever you can. If you're at work and some of you are working, preach the Word of God. Let your actions speak louder than words. That's what we need to do. And if you're staying home, you can still reach others. Be a light wherever you go or when you don't go anywhere. Be a light. Get on the phone. Share Jesus with those. Now's a perfect time. More than ever, people need hope. And you're the one to bring it to them. God bless you guys. I hope this encouraged you and strengthened you to continue on in the battle, because it is a battle. But Jesus is our rock. Amen. Praise God. You guys have a wonderful week. I'll be talking to you soon. God bless you.